There's a lot of ways we can do this, but really one of the most regular, significant ways that we practice this as a church is through communion. Now, if I were a good pastor, I would have prepared and had us do communion today because that would be like so appropriate, right? But total missed opportunity right there. Just put that near the top of the list of missed opportunities for Kevin. But man, when we come together for communion and we practice that every month, that is a public, outward, tangible, embodied confession communally acknowledging we come and we remember and we experience the goodness of God and remember that it was his broken body, and we break that bread as a reminder and a confession that it was my sin that required his body to be broken. Because his body was broken, I am able to receive healing and new life. Because his blood was shed, I am able to experience eternal life. Not just go to heaven when I die, you know, forgiveness of my sins, but I get to walk in a new way of life right now. I get to experience it today. It's a public, communal profession, acknowledgement of our sin. Now, are there times, though, when we should confess specific sins? And the answer is, yeah, absolutely. We've talked about these before, but obviously one example here, we're not going to read through the passages. We refer to them a good amount here, but many of you are probably very familiar with Jesus' teachings from Matthew. When you've sinned against somebody else, right? Matthew 5, Jesus says, when you're going to worship and you remember you've got a brother, right? Someone in your, like in the faith, right? In your community, in your church, in the assembly. They've got some legitimate thing against you, right? Like you've sinned against them. He says, you better, like, don't come and worship before you go and reconcile with your brother, right? And Matthew 18 walks through this whole process of confrontation, confession, restoration. We talked about that in terms of bearing with one another, and we kind of walked through a lot of those dynamics there. Galatians 6. Those of you who are spiritual should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, keeping watch on yourselves, lest you also be tempted, right? All of those dynamics. But absolutely, when you've sinned against somebody else, confession has to happen. Specific confession. In order to pursue reconciliation and restoration of those scenarios. Confession happens with those who are directly involved, right? And again, this is a whole, we could talk for days about caveats and situations here. There are situations, if you're in a situation with someone in leadership, in a position of power, and they've wronged you, and you ever find yourself in a situation, in this church or any church, and someone comes to you and says, confesses that they've wronged you in some way, and they have a position of power or authority, and they say, now, you can't tell anybody about this because the Bible says this is just between you and me, right? If that ever happens here, you have my permission to forget anything you think the Bible says and you come and tell somebody, right? You we're not going to let any manipulation or power dynamics like that happen ever, ever, ever. I'm going to say that publicly and vocally every opportunity I get, because that stuff happens. It happens in churches, and it's terrible, okay? So just hear me say that. But under normal situations, right, just interrelational, the grind of life and community and relationships, we're going to wrong. It's just going to happen, right? We're going to sin against each other. It's just part of life in any community, in any family. It happens. And so we got to be able to have that humble, reciprocal dialogue and work through those situations together. The most regular place to practice this is right in our families, right? Husbands, wives, parents, kids. Confess your sins. Practice confession with one another right in your families, right in your household. Work this muscle in that most intimate circle. The easiest people to hurt are the ones that you're closest to, that just know you best, right? It's just the truth. Recently, and this is something we try to practice, Carrie and I, we're not perfect at this either, but we try to do this. Guess what? I lose my patience sometimes with my kids, and I raise my voice in a way that I shouldn't, you know? And that happened a moment recently. I just lost my temper, and I yelled at one of my kids. And everybody's in the room, right? Everybody's there. It's like, okay. And the earliest opportunity, like, everybody was like, okay, cool down. The whole family's there. I had to say, hey, guys. I had to confess to everybody. It's like, hey, guys, I'm sorry. I do have a responsibility to parent, right? Was I responding to something that needed to be addressed? Absolutely. But I had to say, it's not okay for me to parent in a way that where I'm like, it's not okay for me to yell when I do that. It's not okay for me to lose my temper when I'm doing that. I love you and I'm sorry. And there had to be a repair there, right? I don't know how many people in the room grew up where your parents ever apologized to you, right? That didn't happen in my household. Like, I had good parents, right? But they never, like, apologized to me for, like, losing, for anything like that, right? So this is, like, a powerful thing that we can practice with one another, with your spouse, right, where it's genuine, right? It's not just, I'm sorry because I just want to get this over with, right? But it's real, genuine, from the heart. Confession. And prayer, right? Turn that into an opportunity for prayer. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your kids. Pray for one another. Now, beyond this, oh yeah, that's it. You got there. You beat me to it. We can confess our sins in smaller, intimate circles of accountability and support. We're not going to come to church on Sunday morning. And I joked last week. I'm really proud of you guys. Last week, I kind of joked. I was like, all right, guys, your assignment this week is go home and just write down a list of all the sins you commit over the course of this next week, and we'll just come in next week, and we're just going to read our list together and confess our sins, because James, that's what James tells us to do. You guys, you either came just to be like, this is it, here we go, you know? I'm impressed. You made it. But in these smaller circles of accountability and support, again, I think James really is mainly, he's talking about this, what we do communally and publicly, right? How we express as a community, like, this poverty of spirit, and we're all together in that. But I think there's some element of this, too, that's kind of just, we keep kind of, as we get into these smaller circles of intimacy and trust, this can be more specific in these environments. And as we do that, though, we need to place much greater emphasis on heart transformation than behavior modification, okay? Heart transformation is greater than behavior modification. So now we're almost getting to something beyond just confession of sins, and we're just kind of like, we're just kind of gonna peel back some more layers here and get to what we see throughout scripture, right? But really, Jesus came and he started just kind of peeling back a lot of these layers and getting to the real heart of things, the real root beneath things that we do. We need to place greater emphasis on the heart than the behavior. Remember, we talked about this in Galatians 6. Paul is talking about, you know, someone is like caught in some kind of transgression. It's like when your foot is stuck in somewhere and restoring them. And he says, bear one another's burdens. We talked about how behind every transgression, there's a burden. There's something, like someone just doesn't wake up in the morning and they're like, yeah, I'm going to go get caught in something that I shouldn't be today. You know? There's like something beneath the surface, things going on beneath the surface, sometimes for long amounts of time. Usually that's the case. There's something that's just, there's an undercurrent of something that hasn't been addressed, or there hasn't been an opportunity to address it. And eventually it just spills out. You see somebody, even like public figures, pastors all the time, that are just like out of nowhere, it's like, how did that happen? The reality is things don't just happen, right? There's long periods of things that just didn't get addressed or resolved or dealt with deep in the heart. Our goal is to get to the heart issues, heart idols, and apply the gospel to those issues. So now let's think about this. In my moment of impatience, let's just all do a little heart examination of Pastor Kevin today, right? And hopefully you can see yourselves there, right? Talking about me, but this is hopefully like, this is all of us. In my loss of temper, was I, you don't have to answer out loud, rhetorical questions, okay? Was I operating from a heart that was saturated in the truths of the gospel and the love of Christ in that moment, right? No. Was I concerned with helping my son explore the deeper issues in his own heart in that moment, right? Was I just like a good shepherd for my son? No. Was I disciplining my son in love? No, that wasn't love. That was the flesh, 100%. Was it righteous anger? No. I think in that moment, what my heart just wanted, right? I probably just wanted like some peace. In a house with four kids, you know, like it gets pretty rowdy, and sometimes it like that that whatever that thing is, you know, it's like that peace monitor, like it just kind of like it ebbs and flows over the course of a day, and depending on what's going on in the day, I was probably carrying some anxiety about any combination of things, right? I have work in a number of different areas and contexts, and I have communication and all different kinds of things, and I'm navigating and balancing at any given time. Probably had stuff on my mind that I was just, I was there, right? I was physically present in the room, but I was probably, my mind and heart were just somewhere else, and whatever happened just was like, I just couldn't deal with it in that moment, right? And instead of laying my burdens down before the Lord and finding peace in his love and his presence and his provision for me, what did I try to do? I tried to secure peace for myself through control, through volume, through force. But that's not how you obtain peace in the kingdom of God. You don't get peace in God's kingdom through control and volume and force, right? Those are all the antithesis of what Jesus modeled and demonstrated as the way of being a leader, a shepherd, a father in the kingdom of God, right? That's not it. None of those things are it. He's the standard for that. I was not surrendered to my role as an ambassador of that kingdom. In that moment, I was sitting on a throne of my own kingdom, right? I was about what I want right now. That's all that cared, all that I cared about in that moment. My throne, my kingdom. And even if I had the right, to like be on my little kingdom throne, even if I did have the right to that, so did Jesus. But what did he do? He left his throne. He emptied himself. He took on the form of a servant. He became obedient to the point of death, so that he could love and serve and lay down his life for us. So any pattern of my heart or my life that ultimately comes out in any kind of behavior that doesn't reflect that paradigm, it means there's something off in here, right? And the gospel, that gospel, enables us to go beyond surface level. Now it connects back to confession. All of this enables us to go beyond surface level confession. When we practice this in smaller circles and personal relationships of trust and accountability and support, this frees us to kind of peel back these layers a little bit and explore what is really the deeper issue here. Let's just look at some of these things. On the next, hit it, there we go. What is the deeper issue? These are some examples of things that are like, we could call these heart idols. Things that we're looking to for significance, security, meaning, identity. The things we're trying to secure to be and feel okay. right? These are like undercurrents unconsciously in our hearts. These are the things that are really driving our behavior in any given moment. These are the kinds of things that Jesus kept touching on and scratching at with his disciples, with his teachings. Pleasure, comfort, escape. I'm just trying to ignore. I just want to do something to ignore. And this is, again, this is the complexity of this. And you can kind of see it there in my amazing artistic graphic arts expertise here with these lines. So next level, right? Really, even behind all of these things, there's a deeper level, right? There's deeper stuff that's driving these things. Am I acting out of just seeking some kind of approval from people? A lot of your people in ministry, right? That's driving them. I just want people to like me. I want people to show up. I want people to love what I have to say in my sermons, you know? I want people to love what we're doing. Am I operating to try to, again, kind of just exemplify this, trying to feel like I'm in control? Like I have some kind of power? Am I trying to like get that? Do I have unresolved anger that I'm dealing with? Am I holding some kind of resentment towards somebody? Right? Is that like creating this distance between me and somebody? Because of something they did or didn't do that I'm just holding in my heart, maybe not even aware of it sometimes, but it's just like greed. This drive for more, right? Am I working and doing things because it's not enough. I need more. It needs to be better. It needs to be bigger. It needs to be whatever, more stuff. That could be materialism. That could be ministry. All of the things. Fill in the blank. Am I acting out of a sense of entitlement? Like, I just deserve this, right? I've been through enough. I don't care. I'm just going to do what I want to do because I deserve it. Pride. I don't need anybody's help. I don't need to confess my sins. And beneath all of these things, there can be, again, those even deeper, this is like, it's hard to like kind of peel back some of these things, but there could be guilt behind that. There could be shame, deep, just shame behind that. Like, I'm just not good enough. Hurt, grief, fear. And almost all of these things on their own are not, quote unquote, sinful behaviors, right? They are the undercurrents that flow within our hearts. These things move us into or toward actions or attitudes that we would see on the surface and say, okay, yeah, that's messed up. Like, that's sinful. That's wrong. But we really need to get to this level, right? With ourselves, with the Lord. And as much, as best we can, with one another. These things are at war with the gospel and the new life that Jesus has made available for us through his death and resurrection. So, something to consider in those kinds of smaller circles, in those one-on-one conversations. It could be a conversation with your spouse. Again, this could be a practice. Talk about this with your spouse. Or, again, if you're in one of these smaller circles of just trust and vulnerability, talk more about that in a second. But try this. Instead of just asking, right, we talk about confession of sins, instead of just like, what sins did you commit this week, you know? Think in terms of, what has been the undercurrent of your heart? What's been going on in the undercurrent of my heart? And think in terms of, you may need to think in terms of weeks, months. Kind of think back over the last month, maybe even the last year. And just try to consider and look inside and ponder, which or to what degree have any of these kinds of undercurrents maybe been at play beneath the surface of my heart? Which of these unconscious motivators have been subtly driving my behaviors, my reactions to other people? Right? My reactions to my kids, my reactions to my spouse, how I react in situations at work. Which of these things are subtly motivating my financial decisions? How I spend my free time? How I do my work? How I show up at work? Like everything. But things like money, time, people, food. What's my relationship with food like right now? That'll point to some of these, right? Substances, money, time, people, food, work. What are my behaviors in these areas? What do they reveal about to the degree that these undercurrents are at play? And these undercurrents can be at play in things that don't look like sin at all on the surface, right? That's where this gets so subtle. That is the deception of sin. That is how broken and wounded we can be. That we can even do things that are good on the surface that are still driven by subtle, sinful heart idols, right? What is that, the series on, is it, I don't know if it's Hulu or Prime, Shiny Happy People, right? Shiny happy people, we're doing all these good things, everybody's good, right? There's no heart idols here. Yay! Nobody's dealing with unresolved shame from their childhood. We're good, right? That's the question to ask. We talk about confession, acknowledging, getting to the heart, getting to the root, and then Now you can really pray. Now you can really pray in a way that's powerful. You can really support and bear one another's burdens and love one another in the real thing, the real issue, the thing that's actually going to make a difference. If we just deal with behavior modification, like, oh yeah, I did this week. Okay, well, try not to do that. Try not to do that again. You're forgiven. It's like, you know, is that like better than nothing, I guess? Maybe. Talk about how the gospel addresses these things, how the gospel provides better resources, better answers. If I'm looking for approval from people, like, why? The gospel says that I am fully known and fully loved by the God who created everything that I can see and that I can't see, who holds the universe together by the word of his power, looks at me and says, look at that, that is my son. I am well pleased in him. I don't need approval from you. I don't care what you think about me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need that. I'm glad if you do, right? I'm not like working for your approval. I don't need more. I don't need anything from you. I'm not trying to obtain something. I can just be so free and at rest in the gospel. It's like, we don't need any of it, right? Talk about how the gospel addresses, provides, right, the healing from these things. And we can pray for one another, support one another, bear one another's burdens in that. So confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that we may be healed, restored. The road to healing and wholeness is paved with humble vulnerability. And the very last caveat I'll say with all of this, I know this is a somewhat longer one, right? Because this is like, can you imagine if I tried to do that last week? I was like, I can't do this in 1 week. I'm glad I didn't try to do that. But last thing, caveat with all of this, especially when we talk about really like this deeper level and just like, we're just getting to real heart stuff. We are encouraging that. We are inviting it. But even talking about in smaller groups, right? If you're in a smaller group or you're in circle, we don't force this, right? This is not something you force on somebody, okay? If you're in a group situation and people are sharing and if you're just not ready to go here with people or with somebody or whatever, that's okay. This can take time. This does take time. And we're here for it. All right? So encourage it, welcome it, invite it, but nobody in any group scenario, we don't want anyone to feel like more shame or fear or guilt, right? Because if you're just not ready to go somewhere with somebody, all right? Just want to say that publicly. And if you're dealing, right, that's a lot of heavy stuff, right? If you're dealing with high levels of grief, fear, anxiety, shame, disappointment, emptiness, talking to a professional therapist may be one of your best next steps, okay? We are pro-therapy at City Light Church, right? Jesus and therapy, community, all of it is part of a beautiful, bigger picture toward health, wholeness, and the life that Jesus invites us into. So we'll take our next steps from here, close us in prayer, and let's have a great week. Father, we come before you this morning and we love you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the freedom and hope and security that we can have in your love that enables us to go places with one another, to go places inside of ourselves with you, knowing that there's nothing that's going to be uncovered there, that you're not already just inviting us to lay at your feet so that we can see how your love meets us there and heals our deepest wounds, the things we try to do and or things that we don't even think or realize we're doing sometimes to try to get or obtain or achieve things that you have already provided for us, that are already available in your love for us. So we ask that you would give us the courage, give us the motivation to just keep taking our next step into that with one another. In Jesus' name, amen.